Good morning and welcome to the Fantasy Blink, a fantasy sports podcast. I am Brian Baines and I am your host. It is Thursday, February 1st. Trying something new today. Episode number 721. There's a setting. There's a setting on the podcast app where I can schedule the podcast to release, I think, at a certain time on a certain day. So I'm actually, I couldn't wait to get to this one. So I am recording this as I am sitting here on Wednesday, January 31st. But I promised you I would have a show for you on Thursday, February 1st. And I also said in the last episode, if you were listening, that that would be the last episode of the month of January. And so feeling a little bit like I'm deceiving my listeners here by recording yet another episode in January, squeezing one more in. But we're going to release it on February 1st, and we'll see how this works. Maybe it works, maybe not so much. But, playing around, experimenting with some things. But today we are going to talk about dynasties. How do you compete in a dynasty and the intricacies of building a team and keeping a team and, continuing to compete, right? And I'm going to use I've got a great case in point. My team in Insane is right there. But we'll get to that. Couple news items that hit last night. Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles, are being sold for $1.75 billion to two guys, it looks like, two billionaires, obviously, local to the Baltimore / DC area, that will be dedicated to keeping the team there. There were some rumors that maybe the DeAngelo's family, previous owners, might be looking to move the team maybe to Memphis. So obviously Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, didn't want to hear any of that. Legislators there in Baltimore did their best to make sure that wasn't going to happen. So it looks like the Orioles will be staying put. And, new ownership. It takes a while for this stuff to go through. The other owners have to agree to it, and then you have lots of legal stuff that you've got to go through when you're making a transaction in the $2 billion area, you know. I deal with these all the time, these $2 billion deals from my classroom, not so much. So, Orioles staying put. And that will be very happy news for a fan base that has suffered through several years of crap and finally seemed to be turning the corner, winning over 100 games last year. Yes, they lost in the divisional round to the Texas Rangers, but the eventual champion Texas Rangers. But they have a lot to be excited about with that young up-and-coming franchise there. The Orioles. Looks like a couple surprising news pieces out of the NFL. Bobby Slowick and Ben Johnson, offensive coordinators respectively for the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions, will be staying put. Didn't sound like there was anything out of the ordinary contract-wise with Ben Johnson. He just maybe feels like the deed is not done. And they need to finish that up and need to get to the ultimate goal. Maybe the jobs that were left available were not what he was looking for. The Commanders, Seahawks, a lot of the other jobs have been filled to this point. Bobby Slowick also for the Houston Texans. Sounds like they redid his contract a little bit, his deal, maybe get him a little more money, a little more something in there, but he's going to stay put as well, which is great news for Houston fans and C.J. Stroud and company as they are, first year in, trying to build some cohesion in that unit, in that organization. So good news there on both of those fronts for those teams and fans of those teams. Another injury last night. Joel Embiid has been hobbling around for the last week or so and seems to have done a little more damage maybe to the knee last night against Golden State. MRI pending. Have to see what that's going to look like. Was definitely on an MVP pace type of a season, although with the new rules in effect, don't think he would have made it to the MVP. Apparently, you cannot miss a certain amount of games and still be eligible for the MVP. And he was down to five more games he could miss and still be eligible. So it doesn't look like that'll be a thing. Hopefully they haven't lost him for a real long stretch. We are not even to the All-Star break yet. So there's if it's not major, plenty of time for him to heal up and get right and get ready to go for the playoffs. So those are the little news tidbits coming out last night. So let's get into dynasties. So dynasties. Let's talk about a team that I have put together in Insane. And this team, to begin, was my team. Let's see, where do I start here? So this would be year number, we have completed year number, I believe year number 7 or year number 8. We've been in this for quite some time. Did our initial draft, put together a kind of a mix out of that draft. It was my first ever dynasty draft too, which is an art form in itself, right? Not something that I just didn't have any experience with it. So trying to figure out exactly, and there weren't, back when we did this, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, there wasn't a lot of research, not a lot of, there weren't podcasts talking about dynasties. There weren't, you know, there wasn't a lot of guidance on how to best form a team over the long term. So we were kind of in uncharted territory a little bit, and we had some different approaches. Definitely had a couple of guys that went towards the younger side early on. There definitely was overdrafting in hindsight, right? Definitely overdrafting of running backs in earlier rounds than there definitely should have been, as we know now. For the long term, you certainly want to get yourself a good, steady, stable quarterback that's going to be with a franchise for a long time, and you also want to focus on the wide receiver position, as their careers tend to be a little bit longer and thus impact greater over the long term. And then you kind of fill in those running backs accordingly. So I drafted a team that was semi-built to compete right then, right? And it did. I got reasonably deep into the playoffs in the first couple years, but that team aged out very quickly, and I realized that I had not planned very well accordingly to build a team that was going to be not only competitive in the short term, but had some longevity to it. So that being said, after a couple years, I saw the writing on the wall, and I completely, 100% completely tore the whole thing down, traded off just about everybody that was of any value, and went all in for draft picks, and even more specifically, first-round draft picks. So I believe the only piece that I hung on to was Kyler Murray, who I drafted that year, in that rookie draft, and everybody else was free game. Everybody else was open to be moved, and they were, and they definitely were. I was able to, over the course of that year, in finishing last, by the way, that's kind of a key, I believe, in the rebuilding process, is you have to take your lumps, you have to finish last, because what comes with that last place, we don't have any weird things in place as far as anti-tanking rules, so to speak. So the last place team does get the number one pick. The only rules we really have in place is you have to put a lineup, an actual active lineup on the field each week. So you can't put injured guys out there. You can't put bye week guys in your starting lineup. You actually have to have an actual lineup out there, right? So you got to compete to the best of your ability with the players that you have. So the first thing, you have to finish last, because you're going to want, you really need that number one pick overall because of its value more than anything, and who might be available to you in that draft. So I not only had the first pick, I had the second pick, I believe I had the third, the fourth. I had, in a 12-team league, I believe I was able to accumulate nine first-round picks in that draft. Nine picks out of the 12. So it was a complete shutdown, complete rebuild. But then in the second stage of that, right, having the nine draft picks, I was able to then, I believe I only made, out of that draft, I only made two or maybe three picks. I traded everything else away. Every other draft pick ended up getting traded away prior to the draft, and was able to put together a pretty decent war chest of players during that little stretch, right? Was able to turn around, obviously able to turn it around very, very quickly. Went from last place and actually won the championship the following year. Complete turnaround. Was able to capitalize on that rebuild fast on the fly, right? Since then, right, I have been in. I won the ship that year. Went to the championship the following year. Lost to Vegas, baby, 83. Went to the championship the next year after that, lost Jay to the Bro, and once again, for the fourth year in a row, made it to the championship and lost again back-to-back to Jay to the Bro, but four straight championship appearances. Now, that's fantastic, right? Built an absolute dynasty of a team that was, you know, built to compete each and every year. But herein lies the problem. I haven't made a ton of moves. The only moves I really have made in over the course of those three, the following three seasons after winning the championship, was pretty much just trading away draft picks for proven veterans that would enhance my team even more and give me more weapons to continue to compete for the championship. Problem being, right, the overall age, and I didn't work out the average, but you can do the math yourself as I go through this. The overall age of my roster is starting to get to a point where I am going to have to make some tough decisions coming up, right? So I'm just going to go through. I'll go through the roster real quick, and then you can see for yourself where we're at. I ran the power rankings last night just for the fun of it, just to see what fantasy pros, you know, what they think in the dynasty mode of my roster overall. And it's still still comes out as the number two, ranked number two, and it's a tie, but it was ranked number two overall in dynasty rankings for the league. I can't remember which team was number one, but the number one obviously had 100 points, and I was tied with another team at second place with 98 points. So really, Fantasy Pros still ranks this team among the top in the league. So quarterbacks, Justin Fields, 24 years old, Kyler Murray, 26 years old, Aaron Rodgers, 40 years old. Okay, those are the quarterbacks. A lot of unknowns here with Justin Fields. Is he going to remain with the Chicago Bears? If he does, chances are they're going to bring in a really, really top-notch wide receiver to go with DJ Moore and help Justin Fields even more. If he doesn't remain with the Chicago Bears, it actually also could be good because he certainly will be traded to a team that will consider him their starting quarterback. So, you know, it will probably buy minimum of two more seasons. Somebody trades for him, they're going to be giving up high draft picks, high capital. They are going to be all in on him for at least, I would say, two seasons. So buying two seasons out of him. Kyler Murray appears to be the guy going forward. Obviously, he's signed long-term, or at least for 5 years or so, but Arizona seems content to roll with him. Aaron Rodgers, you know, I'll get what I get out of Aaron Rodgers. You know, I would put a cap on that at maximum of two more years probably out of him, and you're only looking at him as a fill-in when something happens or bye weeks happen to the other two guys. So there's my quarterback situation. At the running back position, I've got Jonathan Taylor at 25, Joe Mixon at 27, Ezekiel Elliott at 28, Austin Eckler at 28, and the rest of them are, you know, well, a couple other old guys, Jeff Wilson, 28, Deonta Foreman, 27, and then a couple young guys, Jerome Ford at 24, role unknown going forward because you're assuming that Nick Chubb will come back healthy and ready to go next year. And then I have Chris Brooks also sitting on there, just a young guy for Miami. Some of these guys are certainly almost, if not completely droppable at this point, if something better comes along, the Jeff Wilsons, Deonta Foremans. Not sure how much they have left in the tank, but you can see the problem at running back. Jonathan Taylor, obviously, superstar going forward. Joe Mixon had a great season, has one more year on the contract, and it's a pretty team-friendly contract, so I don't anticipate him necessarily going anywhere, but you started to see some juice from guys behind him this season, although Mixon's still top 10 guy, could squeeze another season, but again, he's going to be 28 next year. Ezekiel Elliott, not sure where he's going to end up. I'm assuming he's going to play again next year and actually looked passed the eyeball test. He looked fresh. He looked fast. He looked as good, if not better, than he had looked in the last previous year with the Cowboys. So we'll see where he ends up. But again, 28 years old. Austin Eckler, completely disappointing year. Free agent. Not sure where he's going to end up and what his role will be. So you kind of have to wait on that. And then, as mentioned, Jerome Ford, you know, looked good, finished as a, you know, running back two, and was effective when on the field. But if Nick Chubb comes back healthy, you would assume that his role would be that of a backup. Okay, so that's the running back position. Wide receivers, A.J. Brown, 26. Tyreek Hill, 29. Cooper Kupp, 30. Amari Cooper, 29. Seeing the trend there. A lot of 29s and 30s. Let's see. George Pickens, nice and young, 22 years old. Marquise Brown, 26. Elijah Moore, 23. Darnell Mooney, 26. Jalen Guyton, 26. Brandon Powell, this surprised me, 28 years old. Didn't realize he was that old. Michael Gallup, 27, and then a young Charlie Jones, just a you know, one of those grabs for the Cincinnati Bengals. If T. Higgins moves on, Tyler Boyd moves on, there could be a lot of targets available for one Charlie Jones there. But you can see, again, the dilemma. A.J. Brown, obviously, has plenty left in the tank, but Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper, my three main guys, they are on the wrong side of the 30 mark. So you got to, you know, decisions need to be made at some point. Tight end made a big move at the beginning of the year, pushing for the championship. Almost got it, almost, but you know, due a lot in part to his inability to play. But Travis Kelce is 34 years old, looking like a 25-year-old right now in the playoffs, of course. Gerald Everett, 29. Mike Gesicki, throw in on a deal, 28. And Juwan Johnson is 27. So you can see where wherein lies the question. Where do you go from here, right? I have, obviously, what, according to Fantasy Pros and according to what I feel, have still a team that can compete. Can be in the top half of the league, certainly in the top six. And as we all know, with fantasy football, all you need to do is get to the playoffs and see what happens. Anybody can have a big week at any time. You can have Amari Cooper go off for 60 points on any given week and vault you right in to the mix for a championship. Or at this point, what I'm looking at in, if I were to trade these guys off, right, start piecing this out, start rebuilding, start trying to acquire draft picks, you're going to be getting pennies on the dollar, right, compared to what their actual value is. Tyreek Hill could easily be the number one overall wide receiver next year. At 30 or 31, whatever. Yeah, he'll be 30 next year, right? Could easily be that. Am I going to be able to get anywhere near what I gave up for him when I traded for him? I believe I traded scary Terry McLaurin, two first-round picks, maybe two second-round picks, and two third-round picks. I basically gave up draft picks for 2 years and Terry McLaurin to get Tyreek Hill. Don't regret it. I don't regret the move at all. He's been nothing but awesome and a guy you want to have on your team. But what could I get for him now, right? I certainly feel like I could still get a first-rounder for him. So you give up Tyreek Hill, get the first-rounder, and then Tyreek Hill goes off for, you know, 1,700 yards, 90 catches and 10 touchdowns, and finishes as the wide receiver two, right? What do you do then? You've just given one of your opponents a diamond in the rough to help their championship hopes, and you got a first rounder out of it, right? And we all know first rounders are great, but they are a roll of the dice. You don't know what you're going to get out of future player. And a lot of times you're doing this even before before the draft has happened. You probably want to wait until your best value on these guys on the draft picks, you know, both ways on the trade, are going to come after the NFL draft, when you find out where guys land and before your rookie draft happens. But what do you do, right? Same thing. Not nearly as friendly of a deal that I could get for Joe Mixon right now. Could probably almost get nothing for Ezekiel Elliott, Austin Eckler. You know, these guys could still turn out to be valuable assets, but you just can't get as much for them, right? So here's my situation. I have a second, a late second round pick is all I have in this year's rookie draft. Again, I have traded all of these assets away, traded away some youth along the way as well. or building teams. So I have to make the decision at this point. Do you go all in again with a team that could compete? Again, with these older guys too, comes the fear that they perform really well for 10 games, right? First 10 games of the year, and then you start to get the little injuries, their teams they're on are winning a lot of games, and the opportunity to rest them comes up. You worry about that a lot with your older players, your veteran players as well. So where do I go from here? And, you know, what's the outlook? I don't feel like with this team, and maybe things will fall into place. Maybe offers will come in. I've placed just about every one of these guys on the trade block and have had very little interest so far, and it's early. Granted, we haven't even reached the Super Bowl yet, and things start to heat up around draft time and around, you know, as you get closer to your rookie draft. But I just don't know what value I can get for these guys. It's almost to a point where I have to go into next season, status quo, and wait for a couple of these guys to do their thing, right? And then as contenders start to move their way towards the top and want those pieces to help ensure that they're going to be able to make a run at the title, they would be more interested in a veteran guy that could help stabilize a position on their roster or give them depth, the depth they'll need to make a run. So 24, as I look at it now, 2024 is probably a dead draft for me. I don't know that I could accumulate the guys that I would need on hope, right? Because the other teams in the league are pretty well set at this time. They're excited for the draft. They've got their draft picks. They're going to do a lot of their building through the draft. It's more of an in-season, and that's the way I was able to do it the last time when I burned it down and was able to accumulate those draft picks. It was more dealing with the teams that felt like they needed to make a couple moves, were willing to mortgage a little bit of future for what they thought would be the pieces to help them get to the promised land. So the way I look at it, the way I look at this roster now for 2024 is it's full steam ahead, see what I can do, get into it, get into the season, see how things are shaking out, right? You run the risk of getting off to a good start, and then, of course, you know, then you don't want to move anybody, right? Because things are going well. You got a chance to make another run, and that's that, right? You're in. You're not gonna trade any of these guys off. I feel like if there's any hint that I might not have the horses to compete to get to a title, that's the time you got to make the moves, and you got to make them fast, and start building immediately, and move those big pieces, the guys that can really impact other teams and help them get there, and start accumulating those first round picks or younger. You know, maybe you have your eyes on younger prospects as well. The challenge, right? So I've put myself in this position, right? Going for it, going for it, going for it. year after year, mortgaging the future, giving away the draft picks, accumulating the veterans. It's been fun. It's been a fun run, and that's why you do it, right? You're only in it to win a title. You're not in it to finish sixth. You shouldn't be, or at least you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be in there to make the playoffs and say, well, you know, I made the playoffs. That's good. That was fun. I got eliminated in the first round again, but that was fun. No, you should be, if you're doing this, you should be doing it with the ultimate goal of I want a title, and I'll do anything necessary within the boundaries of my roster to get that done, or at least give myself a chance to do it. So this is the path that I've taken. Now, is it possible? Is it possible to constantly reload with youth and build on the fly and constantly be competitive? I don't know. I don't think that I've seen, I don't think that I've personally witnessed a team that has the perfect mix of veterans and youth that is currently competitive and able to. I mean, Jay to the Bros team is probably as close as you could get to that right now in terms of having youth. He's made some good deals, and having that, you know, the stable veteran guys that can get it done for you. I just want to, I'm looking up his team right now and could go through it and really quickly. And, you know, well, you know, he's got his biggest concern, of course, is at the quarterback position, and he's been able to do this without a quarterback. Basically, Kirk Cousins is the guy he has in there. Russell Wilson, Jacoby Brissett, Desmond Ridder. He got lightning in a bottle. Tyrod Taylor, he picked up off the waiver wire that got him 30 points in the championship game. You can play it that way, but it's, you know, playing it risky. He's young, well, sort of. Breece Hall, young running back. David Montgomery, not young. CeeDee Lamb, super stud. Made, obviously, it, as happened in all leagues, made the best waiver wire pickup of the season in Puka Nacua. Got him going forward. TJ Hawkinson, dealing with injury. Chris Olave, young, stud. Debo Samuel, how young? 28. No, he's not young anymore. Devonta Smith, young. But then it gets, you know, gets a little thinner. DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin, Najee Harris, Terry McLaurin, Jackson Smith and Jigba. So he's made some good draft picks along the way, good young draft picks. But we'll see if that one works out. Let's see. And there he is again, right? Has made some good moves along the way. He's the current two-time defending champion, and he's got the second overall pick in the draft. So, you know, he's done a good job of managing a mix of youth and veterans and getting the pieces he needs to compete and be a champion. And he's set up to be, you know, right up there at the top for a couple more years. And if he keeps making the moves like he's making the right moves, maybe, you know, maybe he's able to rebuild on the fly and keep that team competitive. I know that Squatch could speak to this. Went all in for several years in a row and had, you know, made it to several championships, won one, and was there, but then got to the point where he had to burn it down. Daddy-O could attest to the same thing. He was one that was really, really focused on youth in the in the original draft, and took a little while to build it up to get those guys in big roles with their teams, but then, you know, was dominant for a couple of years, won a championship, and then, you know, it got old on him quick, and it had to, you know, he's in the middle of a rebuild right now and is doing a really good job of it and has a chance to get back in there. But it's just so hard to depend on that youth. A, you don't know, you know, what their role is going to be and how it's going to turn out, versus a veteran that is established with a team or is signed by a team, and you know what their role is going to be and can have some expectations for that. But it comes with a window, right? All of that comes with a window, so you have to be able to figure out how to manage those things. I've got the same thing, kind of the same thing going in MSD this year. I also have Eckler and Zeke in that league. I have Amari Cooper and Cooper Kupp in that league, along with Stefan Diggs, Chris Godwin, and DeAndre Hopkins. So going to have to make some of those same decisions in that league as far as, do you continue to roll with these guys and just ride them into the ground, or you try to get as much value as you possibly can out of them while they still seemingly have something in the tank. You know, it's a work in progress, but dynasties are fun. It definitely, you have to take you have to take a short-term and a long-term approach to how you're going to build your team in order to, you know, be competitive now and later. So kind of fun to talk about. Dynasties are great. I like them better than the redraft leagues in terms of just the ownership of it and the moves that are made. Lot more trades and acquisitions made in dynasties versus redraft. Less waiver wire activity, just because the rosters tend to get so big. There's not going to be nearly as much value on the waiver wire as the season goes on, but there are guys. There will be guys, the Puka Nakuas, that make it happen. But yeah, all right. So we'll see how this works out. This was a long one. I had a feeling that it would be, but fun stuff to talk about. I'm going to release this. Yeah, well, by the time you get to this point in the podcast, you will know that it's Thursday if it all worked out right. And we'll be back next week. Talk some more football. We'll be getting ready. We'll be past the first week, and the teams will be arriving in Vegas and getting geared up and ready to roll for Super Bowl 58. 49ers taking on the Chiefs should be fun. All right, that's going to do it for me. I am going to be on the road on Friday, going to visit for what probably will be our last college visit. Waiting for answers from these universities on where the boy is going to go. So, everybody have a great weekend. For the Fantasy Blink, I am the Commissioner. I am.